Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
TikTok, 7 o'clock. Welcome into the 7 p.m. edition of Sports Talk. We are April 11th, Thursday edition, getting ready for a Pelicans game, 9 o'clock tonight against the Sacramento Kings. Pel's trying to hold on to that sixth seed in the Western Conference. And Charlie, I know you just saw some positive news out on social media.
Yeah, Chris Haynes reporting that Brandon Ingram is expected to return to the Pelicans lineup for the finale against the LA Lakers.
Let's do it.
We were kind of keeping our fingers crossed. Maybe he would play the second night of a back-to-back against Golden State. According to Chris Haynes, a national NBA reporter, Brandon Ingram is officially coming back for that game against the Lakers via some sources.
Love to hear that. B.I. coming back, wrap things up at home in the Smoothie King Center against the team that dealt him away in that Anthony Davis trade, LA Lakers squad that I don't think anybody in this NOLA area particularly cares for, even before the AD trade happened. And I know everybody kind of makes those jokes every time we play the Lakers that Anthony Davis still yet to say goodbye to New Orleans.
Yeah, I'm over it.
No, I mean, me too, care. Totally. It's like it's over, been long over and done with him.
I don't like Anthony Davis.
You don't like Devin Booker. You don't like AD.
Well, yeah, my hatred for the Lakers is well documented. I don't like them at all. There was actually a funny kind of post after they lost to Minnesota. So I guess this was probably earlier in the week, maybe Monday or Tuesday or whenever that was. When they lost to Minnesota, like, Laker fans were freaking out. Oh, Naz Reid, you know, played so well against us. All these role players play so well only against the Lakers or whatever. And someone was saying that Naz Reid has been excellent since Karl-Anthony Towns went down. He's a big reason why the Timberwolves have stayed afloat and kind of stayed in contention for that top seed. And it's just like, Laker fans only watch the Lakers, so they don't know that these role players are actually better than they think. And so someone had posted this really funny tweet. It said, Laker fans flipping a coin 8 times and getting 6 heads. This only happens to the Lakers. They're the whiniest fan base. It's ridiculous.
You mentioned Naz Reid there, and yeah, he's been fantastic. Unbelievable. That guy went undrafted back in 2019.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been awesome. He's really developed his offensive game. The fact that he's such a good three-point shooter, like, the modern NBA, that is a perfect big for how games are played now.
The LSU football team, you mentioned in the Sports Flash, wrapping up spring practices. They got their spring game on Saturday. You had that bite of Coach Kelly mentioning the fact that they're only looking for really one position come the transfer portal, and that is a defensive tackle. Coach Kelly spoke with the media today, wanted to clip some bites from him. Let's at least get into his opening statement. It's pretty long on what he's had to say as spring ball is winding down.
Well, we just wrapped up our 14th practice out of 15. So, you know, from from a perspective of, did you achieve the things that you want to achieve? Did you make the progress that you wanted to make? You know, certainly we have a better sense of the areas that we need to get better in. Certainly players that we're counting on to play more prominent roles from last year. I think we walk away with, you know, clearly a better feel for our football team and the areas that we have to really strengthen going into the offseason. So what does that mean particularly? I think we all clearly understand that the team itself is better balanced offensively and defensively. I think last year it was pretty clear that, you know, we were trying to fit in a lot of transfers out of the portal on defense. There's a lot more continuity on defense. And certainly from an offensive perspective, we've lost some players, but it's pretty clear with an offensive line, tight ends, a quarterback and a deep receiving core that we're going to have some success on offense as well. So we'll do a deeper dive here, you know, after the spring game and give you a better sense. But a good spring, a healthy spring. We had no injuries of any kind. We still have another game, you know, or another practice and spring game to go through. But all in all, I think we walk away here with a better understanding of our football team and the strengths and weaknesses and where we need to go in the offseason.
Head coach Brian Kelly also asked about what exactly is he looking for in Saturday's spring game for his Tigers.
We'll split it like we did last year, where it'll be an offense versus the defense and, you know, that kind of crazy scoring thing. And it's really not about the scoring as much as it is about giving, you know, certain players that are in key positions the opportunity to compete. Like, you know, we want to see some of our frontline guys go out and compete and play, but they're not, for us, the most important players out there. We want to see KP, right? We want to see him in some key. We need to see the two running backs. In particular, you know, we need to see the offensive linemen that are going to play key roles. And so there are key players that need to really get a lot of work in this game that we're, I think, focused on. And I think on both sides of the ball, as the game unfolds, you'll see a lot of them and you'll know, okay, they're really auditioning that particular player today. And there'll be other guys that get a quick hook and go, all right, they got a pretty good sense of where he is.
Coach Kelly also asked about the LSU defense. Obviously was a big problem for the Tigers a year ago. A whole new coaching staff, and he was asked, what is that vibe like between the coaches, Blake Baker and his entire staff?
You know, they know each other, right? I mean, Blake and Bo, you know, work together. You know, Kevin worked with Blake, you know, and Jake. So these are guys that, you know, weren't plucked out of different, you know, areas and didn't know each other. So there was a natural fit there with all of them. And that's obviously a positive. They're demanding, but they're not demeaning in any way. And they coach their guys hard, but it's LSU. And we need to bring LSU's, you know, defensive persona back. And so I think they're doing a really good job and getting our defense to play the level they need to. We need to continue to recruit. We need to continue to develop. But I like the energy. I like the way our players have responded this spring. And I expect our defense to continue to get better.
Yeah, that defense definitely needs to get better. Like I said, it was abysmal last season and really just a wasted, I don't know, opportunity, but the offense was just so prolific and dynamic. It's unfortunate that the Tigers couldn't capitalize more on that and make it into the postseason.
A Heisman quarterback, two first-round receivers, like that was a prolific offense, as you mentioned. And it's going to be a solid offense again this upcoming year. Garrett Nussmeier is a different look at quarterback. As Mike has mentioned, how are you going to replace the 1,000 rushing yards of production from Jaden Daniels?
Ding, ding,
that's
ding,
huge.
Right.
But Kyron Lacy, you kind of expect to take that next step to be their wide receiver one for this team. CJ Daniels is an interesting prospect as well. The strength of the offensive line, a bunch of great players up front, two guys that tackle that are just cornerstones of this offense. Mason Taylor's one of the best tight ends in the country, projects as, you know, having a huge year in his junior season. So LSU offensively will be fine. It's about the defense taking that next step. And as Coach Kelly mentioned, he's expecting a much more balanced roster. Like, that's the word he uses, balance, where as the defense, you know, maybe the offense isn't necessarily as prolific as it was last year. It's hard to match those numbers, but the defense will take a step up and they'll be good on both sides of the ball.
We'll get even more info from head coach Brian Kelly. We cut up a bunch of sound. First, we're going to take a break, come back, talk to some Pelicans. We're Locked On Pelicans host Jake Madison. Then we'll get into some of the offensive comments that Coach Kelly had to say as we get ready for the spring game on Saturday in Tiger Stadium. Coming back with more of Sports Talk right after this here on WWL.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Back in here on Sports Talk, Steve Geller along with Charlie Long. Welcoming in Jake Madison, host of the Locked On Pelicans podcast. You can find that on the Odyssey app, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Thanks so much for the time, Jake. How you been?
I'm doing well and happy to be on talking some hoops here.
Yes, indeed. The Pelicans going for a fifth straight victory over these Sacramento Kings. Should I be worried about that, or is it just a case where they just happen to have the number of this lineup?
You know, they definitely had the Kings' number, and the Kings match up poorly with the size and the athleticism of the New Orleans Pelicans. But that said, look, it's tough to beat a team five times in the regular season, right? They're playing an extra game due to the in-season tournament. That's not an easy thing, and you know Sacramento doesn't want to go 0-5 against this Pelicans team. So they're going to come out with a lot of energy and a lot of fight in them. And oftentimes when New Orleans has kind of been punched in the mouth in the first quarter, they've shied away from these type of games. So hopefully they come in with the right mentality, because they can win this and they can really solidify their grasp on that sixth seed and avoid the play-in tournament. So you could argue in a sense that this is one of the biggest games, if not the biggest game of the regular season, given the stakes right now. You're two games up on the Sacramento Kings. If you beat them, they're probably no worse than the seventh seed. The Pelicans are. So you really want to go out and get this win, because it's really going to help you in the long run.
Absolutely. And you're looking at this matchup, Jake. Sacramento actually opens as 1.5-point favorites, despite the Pelicans being 4-0 against them this year. One thing that stood out to me for the Pelicans against Sacramento, we've talked about the Kings defensively. They kind of struggle. Their offense is kind of what they lean upon. The Pelicans averaged 126 points, basically 126.5 points against Sacramento this season. They've been outstanding offensively against this Kings squad. I mean, who's your X factor tonight? You kind of talked about getting off to a really good start. Trey Murphy had a great game the other night in Portland. And I think that, you know, with the Pelicans shooting better on the road than they do at home, maybe he could be a spark plug to help the Pelicans jump out to an early lead that they don't look back from.
Yeah, you're going to need all those guys to shoot well, right? We've seen how important it is to space the court well for Zion Williamson. There's been some games when he's been a little bit frustrated due to the lack of spacing. And when that happens, the Pelicans' offense kind of falls apart a little bit, and you can't have that happen in this game. You really need to get this win. So you need these guys to come out, whether it's Trey, whether it's CJ McCollum, or even Herb Jones. You need them to come out and hit their shots, because that's going to kind of open up that defense a little bit, and that'll let Zion Williamson kind of take this one home. They're going to need to feed him the ball. They're going to need to get him going early, but you're only going to be able to do that if there's some space there, because teams are really trying to wall him off from the rim right now with how well that he's been playing. So Trey and all those guys, just anyone hitting threes, taking threes and making threes is kind of the key to this one, I think.
Jake, looking at the lineup for this Pelicans squad, got some good news over on social media. Chris Haynes, I guess he was actually doing his broadcast for TNT, when he said, Brandon Ingram expected to make his return Sunday for the Pels against the Lakers. Charlie and I were selfishly hoping he could make it for game two of this back-to-back tomorrow at Golden State, but shoot, we will take at home against the Lakers anytime.
Jake, just getting up some minutes before the postseason, right, whether that be the play-in tournament or the playoffs, I think that's really big.
So it is. You know, it would have been great to get him two games of action, but look, if it's one game, and that's kind of what the signs were pointing to in recent days, you'll take that, because Brandon Ingram is a guy, one, they're missing him, right? This team has not been better without him whatsoever. But the other thing is, it usually takes him, when he's had some injuries, to a game or two to really shake off that rust. So you don't want his first game back being in a winner-go-home game in the play-in tournament, or even a playoff series where if you lose game one, that kind of puts you in a bit of a hole. You'd like him to shake off some of that rust so that he's going to be the best version of himself in those more important games. And we'll see what the stakes are going to be for this Lakers game on Sunday. Could mean a lot. Maybe it doesn't. So it's just kind of up in the air. But getting him back is going to be important. They've been missing his playmaking, I think, more than anything else. We've seen at times the Pelicans' offense get a little bit stagnant. And so having another guy out there that's a focal point of the defense that can pass the ball and keep the ball moving is going to be a really great thing. And if teams are going to put 3-4 guys down below the basket to wall off Zion Williamson, that's going to give Brandon Ingram plenty of room to get to his spot, that mid-range, even for three, and take those shots and beat some opponents. So when he gets back in the lineup, that's a big thing for the Pelicans.
And then looking at Sacramento, right before we look kind of a little bit ahead to their next couple games, and I'll get your preview about it if the Pelicans do in fact seal this 6th seed, Jake, over these final three games. Against Sacramento, defensively, you're looking at Domantas Sabonis and obviously De'Aaron Fox. They're going to be missing Malik Monk and Kevin Herter for this matchup, two kind of key offensive pieces off the bench for them. And if you're looking at the Kings, we already talked about their porous defense and how the Pelicans can really attack them both inside with Zion and also on the perimeter with their three-point shooting. I mean, defensively, how do you attack this Kings squad?
You know, you want to press the point of attack, I think, first and foremost. And that's going to be with De'Aaron Fox, and that's going to be having Herb Jones there. You know, Sabonis has been fantastic for them this season. This is a guy that can easily, as a big man, put up a triple-double with points, rebounds, and assists. But he also does need guys to get him the ball when he wants to post up. And if you disrupt that, you can force them into a lot of turnovers, and that's where this Pelicans team really thrives. They love forcing turnovers and getting out in transition and running. I think against Portland, they had 33 points off of takeaways in that game. They had 17 points to their 4 in transition. Those are some of the easiest points that you can get. So if you can press the point of attack, force De'Aaron Fox into a couple of turnovers in an off shooting night where he's just missing, you can get out and run and just score some really easy points. And once you do that, your defense gets back and gets set, because teams can't run in transition against you when you're scoring. And you just kind of start the cycle all over again. And it turns defense into really easy and good offense, which then makes your defense even better. And so I think by kind of disrupting that, that's going to be important. You know, there's no Larry Nance Jr. in this game. So obviously I think you're going to see a lot of Jonas Valanciunas, and this is a good matchup for him, where he's a big physical body and can kind of go toe-to-toe with Domantas Sabonis. But I'll also be curious to see if they go with like a small ball lineup designed at the 5 and just try and kind of blitz this Sacramento Kings team. But look, you know, I'm talking a little bit about the offense here, but I think that's important, because that lets your defense get back, get set, and then try and force more of those turnovers.
I see that Najee Marshall has been upgraded to questionable for this evening. Still waiting to hear more about him. But how big would that be to at least get him back in the lineup to be on the bench?
You know, look, the way he just brings energy to this team is really important. Look how they look very different when you have Jose Alvarado back out there with this squad, back out there on the court,
yeah.
and just kind of bring some of that like nasty attitude, that toughness that you need, doesn't back down from anyone. And, you know, sometimes you've seen this team is a little bit scared to shoot. People are kind of uncertain about some of their offense. Najee doesn't have that. He's really fearless. He's willing to shoot if no one else is. And sometimes you need a guy that's just willing to do that sort of thing. So getting him back, that energy he brings, this Kings team has been embarrassed by New Orleans four times this season, right? They're going to come out physical. They're going to come out playing tough. Having to be able to match, that's important, and Najee Marshall is key to it.
I agree 100%, Jake. Now, looking forward past the Kings, we're looking tomorrow night against a Golden State squad that has gotten hot, and it's a bad time to be playing them. The two games against Golden State this year have been so funny because they blew the Pelicans out in New Orleans, and then New Orleans goes out into Golden State and just kills them. So both games have been by at least 30 points, if I'm remembering correctly. So with this matchup, though, you're looking at Golden State, 8-2 in their last 10. They're 1-1 against another one of the hottest teams in the Western Conference, the Dallas Mavericks. They are one of the two teams to actually take down Dallas in that stretch that they've gone on 16-2 in their last 18 games. They lost to Minnesota. Outside of that, they've beaten every team they've played. They beat the Magic. They beat the Heat. They beat a Rocket squad, effectively ending Houston's season, by the way. And then we watched them crush the Lakers just a couple of nights ago on Tuesday. So what are your thoughts on this Warriors team that's just gotten hot at the wrong time for the Pelicans?
Yeah, you know, I think it really starts with like Klay Thompson and his turnaround offensively. He had been kind of really just atrocious at the beginning of the year. They moved him to the bench. He's kind of like found new life again. Looks like the Klay Thompson of old. And that's really elevated the squad. They just need more scoring, more guys that are threats out there. And Klay Thompson doing that, coming off the bench, can definitely present some trouble. But New Orleans has a lot of defensive stoppers there, right? Dyson Daniels has been playing pretty well recently. We just talked about Najee Marshall, who can kind of handle some of that. Also, so being able to kind of keep him in check, I think, really can help New Orleans kind of get that win. You also have Draymond Green, which is just a bit of a wild card for them, you know, this season. You don't know what version of him you're going to get, whether he's going to get ejected or not. Trying to get him a little bit frustrated, maybe baiting him into getting thrown out of the game would be really good, and that's a realistic possibility for New Orleans. You know, you ideally want to get this win tonight against the Sacramento Kings, beat the Lakers on the final game of the regular season. You know, the Warriors game is a little bit of a toss-up, I think, especially on the second night of a back-to-back. If you lose that game and you go 2-1 over these next three, I don't know if that guarantees you the sixth seed, which is kind of the scary thing here, because you're also kind of in the battle with the Suns, but they also need to play a team like the Sacramento Kings, who at that point might kind of be battling for their own positioning. So going 2-1 is realistic here, and I think that Warriors game is the one they're most likely to lose.
I would agree 100%. So then you're looking ahead to that Lakers team at home in the Smoothie King Center. I mean, the Lakers will probably also have something to play for, just given the standings right now, Jake. Like, it is so tightly contested. The Pelicans and the Suns is one matchup. Like, the Pelicans obviously own a half-game lead on the Suns to the sixth spot, avoiding the West play-in tournament. But further down the standings, you have the Kings, who are two games back of the Pels, but they're only a half-game ahead of the Lakers, who are a half-game ahead of the Warriors. There's so much to be decided here in this final couple of games here. So I think the Lakers will have something to play for, but in that matchup, you have the Pelicans with an edge.
Yeah, I think so. You know, they're going to be at home, which I think is going to be important. They're going to get Brandon Ingram back, which is going to open some things up. And, you know, it's really going to come down to these next two games. You know, if New Orleans takes care of business, there's going to be nothing to really play for in that game, I think. The Lakers might even rest guys there, too, because New Orleans is beating teams that they're kind of competing with right now. So New Orleans controls that Lakers destiny a little bit, I think, which is kind of interesting to look at with it. But also, it's going to be LeBron James at the end of the regular season. If they do need to win a game, that's kind of scary to me. You know, if they do need to win a game to maybe get to the eighth seed or something like that, you know, that's a guy that you don't want to really bet against in any situation like that, being one of the greatest of all time. So it can be really nerve-wracking, and that's why this whole, the play-in tournament's been a lot of fun, because it means all of these games matter at the end of the regular season when they wouldn't otherwise. So it's just fun to have meaningful basketball this late in the season, I think.
For sure. You talk about matchups, you know, with teams. Hopefully this Pelicans team can lock up that sixth seed. We're all kicking back with some wine and popcorn with CJ McCollum, like he mentioned, watching the other squads take part in the play-in tournament. But if that does happen for the Pels, hold on to that sixth seed. Who are you hoping, matchup-wise, that this team ends up seeing in the first round of the postseason?
Yeah, Jake, that top three is still undecided.
Brutal.
Like, right now, it's Denver kind of has the inside route to the one seed, but outside of that, you're looking at Minnesota or OKC.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those three. The way I see it going is I see it being Denver, then the Minnesota Timberwolves, and then the Oklahoma City Thunder. Minnesota has the tiebreaker over both of those teams, which I think is really big there. So if they end up tied with the Oklahoma City Thunder, they're going to be in second. That's the team I'd like to see the Pelicans play. That would be a little bit better, I think, for them. They've done well against Minnesota. They really seem to have an answer for Rudy Gobert and Zion Williamson, who doesn't do well against him. So if you can, I think that's the most beatable team for them. You know, going up against Oklahoma City with Chet Holmgren, who presents a problem for the center position for New Orleans. You can't really go with JV, but you can't really go with Larry Nance Jr. either. And then Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who's in the MVP conversation, is probably going to finish third. You know, that's a team that does scare me. They're young. They want to prove a lot. Minnesota's never really been here before and feels like they could falter. And I do think New Orleans counters them better. So that's the ideal team, but I think they're going to end up playing the Thunder in the first round if they finish as the sixth seed.
We were really rooting for LA last night. I mean, they obviously picked up that win on Tuesday against the Suns. That was really nice for the Clippers, but, you know, they rest everybody. They rest basically their entire starting lineup, plus Russell Westbrook off the bench, which was really unfortunate. They kept it close with the Suns. I don't know, like, Jake, that was a tight game into the fourth quarter when the Suns finally pulled away and beat LA in Los Angeles. But now you're looking at the Suns' final two games at Sacramento, at Minnesota. You kind of mentioned, you know, we got to root for the Suns tomorrow. But we have to obviously take them down first and foremost. And then playing at Minnesota, a team that could still be in the conversation for the one seed, it's not an easy path for the Suns. But if you're a Pelicans team, you just need to take care of your own business and go 3-0 and not have to worry about the Suns dropping either of these final two games, because they really have played pretty well in this final 10-game stretch against a lot of playoff teams.
Yeah, look, you know, they control their own destiny. And as long as they do that, they're going to be in the sixth seed and you avoid the play-in tournament. And I think that's a really important thing for this team. You know, those one-game win-or-go-home situations, you never know what's going to happen. And that's pretty scary. And you might be going up against the Warriors team or LeBron James in an elimination game. That's not a great position to be in. You know, I think if they can beat the Sacramento Kings tonight, the Sacramento Kings are kind of fighting for their own playoff positioning lives, which makes them a tougher opponent for the Phoenix Suns, which is a really good position to put Phoenix in. You know, they were down 30-4 in, you know, one of the games against the Clippers and things like that. And they were losing to the Clippers until late in the fourth quarter, as you mentioned last night. You know, I don't know if I believe in that Suns team too much right now. And if you make this Sacramento Kings even more desperate, that's only going to help you. And it maybe gives you a little bit more margin for error to lose one of these final two games after you beat the Sacramento Kings. And that's why this game is so important tonight for everything.
I think the biggest thing, and we talked with Nick Friedell earlier on the show, for this Pelican squad is a fast start against Sacramento. If you can just bury this team early on and get out to like an early lead in the first half and be able to kind of give your guys some rest to get prepared for that game against the Warriors tomorrow night. At the same time, like, if it gets into the second half and then the Kings don't think that they can make a comeback, they might be resting some of their guys for this matchup tomorrow night against Phoenix, and it's a win-win for the Pelicans.
Yeah, that's why this game's so big, right? Like, there's so many kind of knock-on effects from it, I think, here, what you had mentioned, right? You've got another game tomorrow night, and if you can get a little bit of an extra rest after a long road trip here, that's only really going to help you with things and let you just get a little bit of extra preparation, and that can make the difference between winning or losing, and that might be the difference between the sixth seed and the seventh seed here. And then it has a knock-on effect down in the standings of making the Kings desperate. Like, all of those things, I think, are just so important, and that's what makes the end of this season so interesting here and so intense feeling, right? And that's what makes this so much fun, that we're just playing meaningful games late in, you know, in the middle of April at this point.
100%. My last question for you here, Jake, is not Pelicans related, is NBA MVP related. I did this for our triple option earlier on in the show. Whereas you're looking at the odds, and the odds makers have Nikola Jokic as far and away the favorite. It's like minus 3,000 at this point to win the NBA MVP via betting odds, whereas Luka Doncic is like plus 1,600. I don't really understand why this isn't more of a debate. Like, if Nikola Jokic wins, I'm not going to be upset. I think that he clearly deserves it, but Luka Doncic does as well, and I feel like he's just being overlooked. The run that the Mavericks have gone on recently that has basically shot them out of the play-in tournament and clearly into the five seed, where they could even get to the four, but they have a solidified matchup against the LA Clippers for this first round. Like, they've already hit 50 wins, and people forget that last year there were only two teams in the Western Conference with 50 wins. This year there's already five, And the Dallas Mavericks are in that number. This isn't a play-in team, and if people are acting like Luka Doncic is leading a team that's in like eighth place versus where he is right now.
I mean, I think you've also got to look at it just over the course of the whole season. And if you look at it from start to finish, Jokic, I think, has been the best player, and I think he's going to end up winning. And Luka is making a nice push now, but you also have a team that's number one in the West versus number five in the West. And while the West is very competitive, and the Dallas Mavericks admittedly made a lot of moves at the trade deadline to upgrade their team, you can't just be held to kind of like recency bias, and you've got to look at it as an 82-game award. And I do think Jokic has been better overall, and I think is a better defender than Luka Doncic is too. But I think it's going to be a little bit closer than people realize. You know, when it comes to the MVP award, one of the things is a lot of people kind of make up their mind early on in the season with this. I think a lot of voters kind of make their decision in February. That's going to hurt Luka Doncic with this too, I think. I ultimately think it's Jokic. I do think there's definitely a debate about it, but I think Jokic is the best player, and I think he's going to win MVP. He was also robbed a little bit last season.
Agreed.
Because of the debate around him with the postseason, right? No one wanted to give him three straight MVPs if you hadn't won a title, because you're putting his name up there with Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, all people who won at a very, very high level and won multiple titles. And because Jokic didn't, they didn't feel comfortable kind of elevating his name to that level. Now that he's won the title, he can win as many MVPs as he wants, and no one's going to, you know, say no to that sort of thing. So I wonder if there's a little bit of that factoring into it as well.
I think it was probably, as you mentioned, a little bit of voter fatigue with Jokic, and Embiid was solid last year, don't get me wrong, but I mean, I agree that I think he was a little bit robbed last year. But at the same time, I think there's a little bit of voter fatigue with Luka. You kind of mentioned that, yes, he's come on strong late and his team's been winning late, but the numbers have always been there for Luka Doncic. He's like, he leads the league in scoring. The amount of points, rebounds, assists this guy puts up is historic combined. I mean, I just feel like he's being a little bit overlooked for this award because, I mean, the voter fatigue that I mentioned, Luka's never won it. Like, he's been so good in his career. Like, Nikola Jokic had the voter fatigue thing, winning back-to-back and not winning three straight, and that's why Joel Embiid got it. But I think that Doncic deserves at least some kind of recognition. Like, he may not win it, and as you mentioned, Jokic has been the best player all year, but I don't think it's that big of a margin.
No, like if Luka won, it would be fine. I wouldn't really have much of an issue with that, I think. You know, I think him finishing fifth in the West and not fourth, not getting home court, is going to stand out to voters, because if you were that good, why not carry some of the team, that team earlier? And they've had more injuries than the Denver Nuggets have had, but they haven't had that many. And I think voters are going to look at that as well. You also look at Denver, and I think they have the second best offense in the league, and Jokic is kind of the crux of that. So when you compare some of the numbers, it just kind of elevates Jokic a little bit in voters' minds, I think.
Jake, always appreciate your time. Just an hour and 15 minutes till we got a tip off in Sacramento. Thank you.
Of course. Thanks for having me on, y'all.
Thanks, Jake.
For all things Pelicans, make sure you subscribe to the Locked On Pelicans podcast on the Odyssey app. That's part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Taking a break. When we get back, we'll get into more of the spring game sound that Brian Kelly addressed the media today, talking about Saturday's spring game, and we'll see what he had to say offensively going into the spring game when we get back right here on WWL.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Now down to an hour and 13 minutes till the Pelicans and Sacramento Kings tip off in Sacramento. Gearing up for that matchup. Looking forward to seeing if the Pellies can continue to hold on to that sixth spot in the Western Conference. Three games left to play in the regular season. Definitely fingers crossed there. Action this weekend. Football action in Tiger Stadium. We're going to have the spring game. LSU taking on each other, obviously. Coach Brian Kelly talked to the media today. Said it's going to be pretty clear that certain players are, quote, auditioning for roles while established players might not play as much. And I guess you would pretty much expect that from the spring game. He was also asked, looking at the offense, the development of sophomore tight ends Mack Markway and Kamorian Pimpton. Here's what he said.
Well, I think with KP, I think we've always felt like he was going to be, you know, a dynamic presence as a pass catcher. I think it was, you know, feeling more comfortable within, you know, the structure of the offense and understanding what to do and how to do it. And then becoming more physical as an inline presence, as a blocker. And I think he's established that this spring. Where will he unseat Mason? No. But can he complement him? Yes. And if ever that we needed him to go in there as the singular tight end, he can do the jobs. And I think that's what we needed to see from him. I think what we see from Mack is a guy that has improved in the pass catching and route running. And I think more than anything else, awareness in the passing game. I thought that there was a lack of awareness at times in the passing game. Now crossing routes and dig routes and things of that nature, there's a much better awareness. And he continues to get better in the run game. So I think we're really pleased with the development of both of them and Mason as well. I mean, he's a player that we're going to count on much more than we did last year. I mean, he's going to be a central figure in what we do. And Garrett looks to him as well. And so I think that in this offense, the tight end will be featured quite regularly.
Coach Kelly there talking about also Mason Taylor last season. Not so hot, 36 receptions, 348 yards, and just one touchdown. So it'll be interesting to see if this Tiger team really does involve the tight end more in this offense this year with a guy like Garrett Nussmeier running the show. Coach Kelly there mentioning that Nuss looking for Mason Taylor, so maybe they're building quite a big bond there. We'll have to see more come the spring game. Obviously, you don't take too much takeaways from what you're going to see on Saturday, but it just gives you kind of a general feeling about the team going into, following spring ball and what they were able to accomplish. Coach Kelly was also asked with his offense, who and what has really stood out to him so far in the spring in offense?
Chris Hinton's had a really good spring. I've talked about Kyron, but Chris Hinton's been really solid for us. I think the last week, CJ Daniels has really settled in nicely. You can see his veteran kind of experience starting to show as he gets more comfortable within our offense. There's a lot of depth. I think Aaron Anderson's had a really good spring for us, and he'll contribute to what we're doing. I just like the depth of the wide receiver, you know, core in itself. There's probably seven guys that can contribute, but Chris and, you know, certainly Kyron, CJ, I think Samson's had a good spring. He's beginning to emerge. We're going to be in a pretty good spot there at the wide receiver position, offensive line, tight end. I think, you know, really developing the number two quarterback. There's another area that you really should pay attention to. I mean, there's a battle going on there right now for that number two position. You know, AJ and Ricky are battling that out right now. They're going to play a lot on Saturday, and that's a pretty good battle right now. So getting that one to kind of come together as well will be another thing. But that's what I like on the offense right now.
Coach Kelly there, interesting, talking about the battle for the backup quarterback position behind Garrett Nussmeier. We'll see how that ends up shaking out, kind of giving the media there, I guess, a little insider idea for a story maybe for this spring game on what you could expect to see. Also, we're talking about the passing offense for this with this squad. Passing defense, we just mentioned as a whole, the LSU defense, abysmal last season, weren't able to stop anybody doing anything. Coach Kelly was asked, though, too, what is seen improvement-wise in the pass defense so far this spring?
There's no doubt there's a compete level for the football that was lacking last year. And let's put it in context. We were playing with freshmen, you know, at corner at probably a good portion of the season. And so they were hesitant to play, you know, an aggressive style of defense. I just think you have some players there with more confidence in the ability to do so. I think you've got some veteran safeties back there that are playing, you know, with a lot more, I think, experience and confidence. So I think a combination of experience, confidence, and just overall athleticism has helped that this spring.
That was head coach Brian Kelly speaking today to the media about the spring game Saturday for the LSU Tigers in Tiger Stadium. Should be interesting to see. I don't know if it'll be televised at all. Usually they have them on SEC Network typically. I'd have to check the LSU website on that one.
Yeah, I don't know if it will be or not, but we'll definitely be keeping up with it. I think that, you know, some of the things that Coach Kelly mentioned about the offense and using the tight end more frequently.
Yeah.
We had mentioned earlier about Mason Taylor being like that guy. Like Garrett Nussmeier's kind of getting that connection with him over the spring. And I mean, he's going into his junior year already. We had actually talked to Mason Taylor a little bit, the media did at least, about kind of his development and his growth as now a leader on this offense. And he mentioned how quick those 3 years have gone. So now he's going to be a big key in the cog for this LSU offense. So, I think that's a pretty interesting bite from Coach Kelly, that the tight ends will be used regularly and heavily in this offense. Because, I mean, last year it was Malik and it was Brian Thomas, and those two guys were so fantastic, and Jaden Daniels orchestrating everything. But there's going to be a couple key pieces that are going to stand out, and Mason Taylor's going to be one of them on this unit.
Yeah, poor Garrett Nussmeier's coming in, and I don't want to say the cupboard's bare, but that experienced top-tier talent, obviously not a part of this offense this year. We'll see, though. I've been hearing, obviously, not just, you know, one or two of these guys rave reviews about the depth at wide receiver heading into this season, so we shall see.
I think you just heard Coach Kelly talk about it.
Right.
Like, a lot of guys have stepped up at receiver, and they need to. There's big shoes to fill with a lot of production loss with Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr. So Kyron Lacy's obviously the first guy that comes to mind is taking that step to being LSU's wide receiver one. But if Mason Taylor can step up his production as well this year, that's going to be a really nice piece as well.
Short break, stepping away. We'll close things out right after this here on WWL Sports Talk. Well, some good news for the Pels heading into this 9 o'clock start against the Sacramento Kings, seeing that Najee Marshall will be available tonight. That's per head coach Willie Green. 9 o'clock tip-off coming up in Sacramento. Interested to see how this team responds. You know, they had a much-needed victory the other night, taking care of business. But you mentioned it, Charlie, coming out with that right attitude, that you know, stepping on the King's throat early on and letting up, just putting them in a deep hole instead of the Pels having to be the team to climb out of, you know, whatever lead they end up giving up. Just be on top of this King squad, put them away early, and hopefully, I don't want to even say coast to a win, because it always seems to be close in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, so Najee, as Jake had mentioned, is going to be really solid for keeping up with the physicality of this Kings team. When you're 0-4, and by the way, these games haven't necessarily been close. Like that game one, they won by 36 points. Game two was technically close. In New Orleans, they won by 5. They won by 10 in the third game, and then they won by 33 in game four. So the Pelicans' margin of victory, they've blown out this Kings squad.
Put a hurting on them, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So you're looking at the Pels, if they can do it again and kind of get that big margin early on. Like, you've seen the Pelicans do this a couple times this season, where they go on the road against a team that they play well against, and they get off to a great start. And, you know, you said coast to victory. That's what you're hoping they can do tonight. We were hoping that they would blow out Portland. They, you know, they had a good second half against Portland, but the first half was tight, so the Stars had to play a lot of minutes. If you're looking at tonight's game, you want to just kill this Kings team in the first half. If you can do that, as we mentioned with Jake earlier on in the 7 o'clock hour, you can rest your guys and get them prepared for a huge matchup against Golden State tomorrow night. But first things first, you got to win. You got to keep the sixth seed. If you lose, you're back in the play-in tournament.
Yeah, we don't want that.
And you need the Suns to lose one of their final two games. You don't want to have to worry about that. Beat the Kings tonight, and then you can keep on that sixth seed for another day.
No, like you said, and you know everyone talks about the Pels right now. They're in that spot. All you got to do is win the last three, and you're in. Controlling your own destiny.
Yes.
We'll be back with more sports talk tomorrow. Going to get into some NFL draft talk, and then get ready for LSU baseball taking on Tennessee in Knoxville. First pitch right here on WWL. Talk to you tomorrow.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.